Well, it's an honor, nothing but an honor, to stand behind the pulpit of my father, Bishop Doug Hewitt Bills. Hallelujah. No man takes this honor upon himself. Hebrews 5:4. You don't just get up and come and stand behind this pulpit. And so, I remember when I was here, the only time I came here was to give an announcement, to come and tell him something, to be honest, and I went back. So this is the first time I'm using this pulpit. A day is coming, you shall also stand here and preach. And it is possible simply because of certain gifts and blessings that God has given our prophet. This afternoon I was thinking about the gifts that God has given him and what God has enabled him to do. If you don't know, when Bishop bought this place, I think he was 29 years old. Yes, at the age of 29, that's when the church moved here. And this afternoon I was thinking about Bishop Hemish and how great a man he is. And the reason why I'm saying this is because maybe he hasn't told you, but when there was nothing to believe, when there was no Bishop Dagwood Mills to see or to believe, Bishop Hemish was there as a faithful co-worker with him. Yes. I'm telling you, this afternoon, that is what was on my mind. Because the church's first set of instruments were kept in Bishop Hemish's room at the medical school. Bishop Hemish was the first choir director in the church, the first choir leader. His favorite song was Shepherd of My Soul. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. The choir should learn it and sing it for him. And he would, from what Bishop himself has said and what I've heard from others who were there at the time, the instruments were so many that he squeezed himself to a portion of his room and he stayed there while the church's equipment was kept in the rest, the larger part of his room. As a medical student, it takes God to touch the heart of a man, to believe in a colleague, a fellow student, so much to give his life to serve and to follow. And I appreciate Bishop Hemish because he has been faithful all these years. Were they not to have been the ones to applaud for Brother Doug, perhaps we wouldn't have come to meet Reverend Doug. Do you understand what I said? So we must really honor, and I'm not saying this because he's here. I mean, those who are with me, they know the honor that I give him. We must honor people like Bishop Hemish Odoi, who have survived all these years. They've been through it when the church was attacked. When there was no roof, they were sent as missionaries. Move with your family. Leave everything you know. Go. Come back. Go again. Come back. No. Go. On your way, turn around. Come. He was going to Trinidad and Tobago. Anyway, I won't tell you the details. I'm sure he will tell you. But all I'm saying is that those of us who have now joined the church, you came recently. 2nd January. It is important for you not to think that he got here by scheming his way through things. It takes a very faithful person to entrust such a cathedral to. So, Bishop Hemish, we honor you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. I think we should stand up and clap and teach the young ones how to honor. The Bible says you shall rise up before the gray head and you shall honor them. God bless you, Bishop Hemish. May you live long
May your example be clear. May your voice be heard. May your sons and daughters be many. Let there be many Bishop Hamishes in the United Denomination, in First Love, and throughout the world. May your story be repeated wherever, as a faithful, faithful, selfless man to a great man like Bishop Dagwood Mills. God bless you, sir. And you may be seated.
Well, I'm happy today, although I'm sad, but I'm happy that today is the last day for me. Because it's not easy to come and preach in Koligono Cathedral. I mean, listen, those of you who I came with, now you can see I'm anointed. Yes, because you can preach anywhere, but if you haven't preached in Koligono, you are not yet a man of God. So this is my final examination for man of Godization. So now when you see me, know that, Saleh, look, I have preached in Koligono before. If I am never invited again, please, in my funeral obituary, write, he preached in Koligono Cathedral, and put the date there, and said the second day I wore white. Hallelujah. But it's a blessing to be here. It's really a blessing. And I thank God for that. Tonight, I'm just serving as a forerunner to my dear friend and brother, Bishop Jude Orakatete. Yes. He will be here tomorrow evening with fire and power. This morning, I was speaking to his wife. And the wife, I asked the wife, hey, where is your husband? He said, yesterday he didn't sleep at home. I said, hey, where was he? He said that he went to wait on God. I said, hey, these people are dead. When Bishop Jude comes, every pew will move back. At the end of the service, the place will be like this, upside down. If you know, you know. So tomorrow night, don't miss it for all the corona in China. It's going to be a fantastic night. Tonight, I want to share with you a short exhortation. And remind me to tell you about my dog, Skippy. Should I tell you about Skippy? Okay, I'll tell you about Skippy. Skippy comes in after I've read the verse. So, a celebrated passage of scripture that we will share tonight. I bring you greetings from Bishop E.A.T. Saki. He was surprised that I'm in Koligono. He was shocked. He said, Hugh, who invites you? I said, I have a friend called Bishop Hemish. What's it? Mercy. Ezekiel 37. And tonight, tonight is the last night you will suffer on earth. Oh, you don't believe it? The hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezekiel speaking. And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Hallelujah. I tell you, there are some things that only the hand of the Lord can accomplish in your life. And it takes the Spirit of God. He wasn't carried out physically. He was carried out in the Spirit. I believe that he had a spiritual experience. But I also believe that the valley was a real valley. And I believe that the bones were there. Verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Kabayaba. May every dryness in your life respond tonight. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?
grandma, I will share the word. And I answered, lo, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, I will preach tonight to be a thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And tonight I will command you to speak. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I beheld, lo, sinews, and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, I'm sure you've read this before. I'm pretty sure you've been to a convention where the man of God preached from Ezekiel 37. I'm sure. But the question we should ask ourselves is, why is this in the Bible? Why does God take us through conditions? Why does God allow us to go through valleys? A valley is a low place. If you study geography, the topography of a place is made up of valleys and hills. A valley is low, a hill or a mountain is high. So why is it that the earth, life on earth, has the unpleasant experience of encountering valleys? Why does God allow his elect to go through periods where not only are you in the valley, but you are surrounded by things that used to have life? They were bones of human beings. And these people perhaps had been for a convention before, but something may have happened, maybe coronavirus, and they died. You will never get coronavirus. Those of you who didn't say amen, shayye. Tonight, everything you hear, you must respond appropriately. Tonight is a healing night. So these were people who, they were even an army. It means that they had been trained. It means that they had a purpose. It means that they were united. It means that they were going somewhere. Perhaps they had been in a battle, and they had lost the battle, and they had died there. And when you see bones, it's a sign that the life has been sapped out of the people. Whenever you go to the graveyard, the other day I went to bury somebody, and as we were burying the person, I looked, and behold, next to the hole we had dug for the person was another hole, and I could see inside, and I saw the bones of another human being. I don't know how long it takes for the flesh to decompose. I'll leave that to Bishop Hemish to preach on Sunday. But he's a medical doctor. But the point is that life has left. Hope is gone. This is not the case of a Lazarus who has died 4 days. This is the case where the flesh is finished. Why does God allow it?
And some of us sitting here may not be dealing with a physically dead person, but we are dealing with a dead marriage. We are dealing with a dead education. We are dealing with dead health conditions. We are probably dealing with dead financial conditions. Your hope in life has been dashed. You go to bed at night and whip yourself to sleep. You wake up in the morning with high blood pressure because the sun has come out. And the thing that you were so hopeful that it would happen, didn't happen. Why? Why is it that God allows this? In spite of the fact that we pray, in spite of the fact that we tithe, some of us tithe backwards, we tithe 20%, we have our prayer requests, we pledge at conventions, we give offerings, we give to orphans, we give at the traffic lights, we help the poor, we feed the hungry, we pray for our neighbors, we do the right thing, we don't steal money at work, but yet at the end of the month, you are not looking like a Christian. I feel like preaching. I look in the eyes of people and I see people who had so much hope in life when they were younger, but at a certain age the eyes become dim and you can tell the guy has lost hope. And you will notice that this whole scripture that we've read, the 10 verses, God never said he would do anything. Everything was you go and do, you go and sort it out. So why? I want to tell you the reason why. I want to explain to you the reason why. It's a setup. I want to explain to you the reason why life is not going the way you want it to go. Not how what you hear in the convention or you see on TV or you watch in a movie. It's not working like that. I want to tell you the reason why God is setting you up to become like Him. In the book of Genesis, it's just a short passage. God had also the same problem that you have. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, according to a certain past president of a certain country, as to whether it is true or not, he couldn't say in the beginning. So he said in the beginning. He was giving a speech in the beginning. He couldn't read the. His name is Jacob Zuma. Then he'll do his head like this. But I'm not Jacob Zuma. In the beginning. Oh, that's a message by itself. In the beginning. You thought your marriage would be sweet in the beginning. You know, I got married here. This is where I got married. I got married here on the 26th of April 2003. I was standing here. This is where I got married. This was my church. In the beginning. In the beginning. You thought the business would work. In the beginning. You thought the child would come out as a pilot. In the beginning, you thought the church would grow. In the beginning, you thought that you would be pretty for the rest of your life. In the beginning, you knew that you will live to 94.3. In the beginning, you knew that the building will be finished. In the beginning, we all have an in the beginning. I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody here, but there are some people who had a beginning. I don't know if you had a beginning and it seems to have gone south. May God put you in reverse gear and reinvigorate your life and rejuvenate your life again. Shout yes, somebody. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I tell you, God has set you up. And the earth was without form and void. Now. When you study the Bible, there are people who have done, scholars, and they have done research on this because they say that there is something called the law of first mention. That when somebody's name or a person is mentioned in the scripture, his character is what he's doing. So God is mentioned first as a creator. And then we also see the pattern through our scripture that God doesn't create chaotic things. So they claim, if you have a date Bible and you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, verse 1 and 2, you see note B. And it is there, you go to page 200 and something, it is there, the in the beginning. And they give a certain hypothesis of what happened between verse 1 and verse 2. And they claim that in verse 1, that the dateless past, God created the heavens and the earth and everything was perfect. And then something happened which the Bible scholars called Lucifer's flood. And Lucifer's flood was as a result of God punishing the earth when Lucifer rebelled. And Lucifer was not in heaven, by the way. Lucifer was here on earth. Lucifer was the prince of this earth. He was the Adam of his time. Lucifer was so great a person that he wanted to rise up to become like God. And when he tried to ascend, God cast him down through Michael. So that rebellion, that disloyalty, is what made God cover the earth with a flood and destroyed everything. When I was in secondary school, I was confused, you know, when I started reading the Bible, about how the earth is, how old the earth is, and how old the earth is. Because if you read the Bible, according to a certain bishop called Bishop Usher, who used biblical chronology to calculate the age of man on earth, when he calculates the age of Adam, and he adds the age of this, and the age of that, and he gave birth to this, and he lived for this number of years, Bishop Usher says that the earth in this current form is about 6,000 years. Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. Abraham to Jesus Christ was 2,000 years. And we are in 2020. So we are about 6,000 years, plus or minus, that's how old man has been here on earth. But then I was confused because I really like astrology, archaeology, and all these ologies. Even though I didn't know I'm done. Chemistry in the hard, but anyway. And I found out that they had something called carbon 14 dating. And they were able to pick bones, fossils from the ground. When archaeologists go and dig, they find a bone. And they have a way of testing it. And they can say, this bone is 7 million years old, 12 million years old. Why don't you go to school, Papa? I have a statement and I'll say it. It applies to everybody here except Bishop Hemish. If you didn't go to St. Augustine's College, you must be born again. So how do you juxtapose these two things? That Adam, if we calculate, and the Bible didn't lie, Adam was 930 years old, this was that. How come Adam was this in the beginning, and yet there are bones that are older than Adam? And it is explained there that Lucifer was actually the prince of this world when such animals like dinosaurs and things were here. And when Lucifer rebelled, God turned the whole world upside down, caused confusion. That's why you must dig to find their bones. And then God created, he said, the earth was without form and void. So something may have happened from the beginning that caused what God had intended and what God had started out to accomplish to become empty and dark. And it's a bit amazing because God is light. So something happened and God left. And when God left, darkness came. Darkness is the absence of light. There's nothing called darkness. Darkness doesn't exist. Darkness is where there's no light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There is no dark, there's no devil. There's no devil that can overcome you as you sit here tonight. Your amen is weak. So God left, caused the confusion and walked off. So by this time, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And God said, Charlie, I'm going to try this again. Let the Holy Ghost move. And the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good.
I see some good things happening to you from tonight.
And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let the firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Just an order was coming. I tell you, God has set you up. And it was so. And God, go on, please, go on. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And then he called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called sea. And God saw that it was good. And God said, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed. I feel like preaching. And the fruit yielding tree after its kind, whose seed is in itself, and blah blah blah. It was so. And God go on. And the earth brought forth. Next verse, verse 13. And the evening and the morning, verse 14. And God said, let the lights in the firmament in the heaven divide the day from the night, and let them be verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament. Are we okay? Are you sure? And what was I saying? And verse 16. And God said, verse 16. And God said, God made two great lights. Verse 17. God set them, verse 18. To rule, verse 19. The evening, verse 20. Ever. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures. And it happened. Verse 21. Blah, 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 blah. 10 times in this passage, it is reported, and God said. So when God began to speak, the confusion that was around him began to fall in order. The complex lines of life began to fall in their pleasant places. Are you here? You've gone home. So back to Ezekiel 37. The Spirit of the Lord carried him into a valley. Into a place, God led him to a place of confusion, a place of dryness, a place of death, a place of hopelessness. And God placed in them and said, what I did, I want you to feel how it is like to be me, son of man, prophesy unto these bones and speak unto the bones. And this is what you must say. Brothers and sisters, tonight, I just want to tell you a little bit about Ezekiel 37. Now, I had a dog called Skippy. Many years ago, Skippy lived in the 80s. And Skippy, we got Skippy when he was a little puppy. And we used to sing a song to him. Skippy, Skippy, Skippy the bush kangaroo. Munya dadaba. Everybody should get a dog and call your dog Skippy. It's a prophetic word. So we used to tie Skippy to a certain pole in the house. And anytime something is passing, Skippy could only bark. As he grew a little older, the chain was there. And when somebody is passing, then Skippy would try and run from his base. And the chain will pull him back. As Skippy became a teenager, he got a deeper voice. Oh, 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 oh. But then one day, something happened. We knew that Skippy wouldn't escape. We knew that Skippy couldn't go anywhere. We knew that we had Skippy chained. So when a visitor comes to the house, we are not afraid because it's your dog. Because Skippy grew to be very tall. It's all his chain. But somebody came to the house. Her name was Yaya. And I don't know whether he didn't like the color red or something like that. There was something. But that day, Skippy saw something that crossed his eye. And he didn't like it. So he began to... And the chain was pulling him. But the guy had become so strong. And the pole had become so weak. And the chain had become so stretched that day something happened, and it's about to happen to somebody here. Skippy was barking, and the chain snapped, and Skippy began to run, and he jumped on the person. I tell you, that's what will happen to you tonight. Some of you have been trying to enter a relationship. When you go, Lord, then the chain will pull you back. Some of you have been trying to prosper. When you go forward, then the chain will pull you back. But tonight, Son of Man, prophesy to the bones. Row, row, row. I see every chain breaking from your neck. I see you going free. Somebody shout yes. Are you angry enough with your health condition? Many of us are not angry enough with our health. We are not angry enough with our situation. We are not angry enough with our church. That's why the chain still keeps us at base. But tonight, if you are surrounded by some dry bones, you need to look at those bones and begin to prophesy and say unto bones, oh ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Shout yes! So the lesson in this short exhortation is that when God takes you to a valley in this life, the lesson to learn is not to cry. Many of you have missed it. You think God is moved by your tears? God is not moved by your tears. I tell you, there are times when people knock on the window of my car begging for money, and they beg and they plead. That is not what makes me give them money, or for the days that I give them money. There are some days, especially when you come and knock on my window, I will not give you money because you don't deserve it. God is not moved by your condition. God is not moved by your tears. Nothing will change when you cry. Nothing changes when you nag. Nothing changes when you complain. Some of you have a PhD in complaining. When it comes to complaining, you know how to give a chronology of events. And you know how to complain and really say the thing. And you've done your mouth as if the world has come to an end. Or you've drunk quinine. And God is not moved with all your complaining. After 7 years of this, it still hasn't changed. Because the dry bones don't respond to your word. They respond to His word. Hear the word of the Lord. When Ezekiel began to prophesy, the Bible says, today I'll close early. When he began to prophesy, the Bible says, bone came to bone. Which means that there are certain things that are happening in your life. There is no way you can connect them unless God's word has come into it. There are certain business contracts you will never get unless you begin to prophesy about your finances. There are certain places you can never go. There are certain people you will never meet unless you begin to prophesy. When you begin to prophesy, bone will move from Australia and get on a ship
and arrive in South Africa and be exported to Ghana, and in Ghana somebody will meet it at Tema and put it in his bag and go to Koforidua to meet your bone, you will find your husband, you will find your wife, you will find that person you've been waiting for. Bone will come to bone. The confusion in your life is coming to an end. I said the confusion in your life is coming to an end. Tonight you must open your mouth and prophesy and speak the word of God to the condition, and God will cause order to come back into your life. Let there be light. Shout yes.
You cannot complain enough. And bone came to bone. How did the bones know where to join? That's where the scripture said that, did you form the bones in the womb? You who are talking plenty, are you the one who determines which bone joins which bone? It's God who has the master plan. It's like a puzzle. He's the one who can pick this piece and place it right here. I see every gap in your life being filled. I see every gap in your life being filled. You are leaving this convention with a master key. The key is to open your mouth and prophesy the word of the Lord, and it shall come to pass. Somebody shout, yeah! Until you are convicted about what is happening, until you are angry enough, things will not move. Anger is a very good thing. It's actually one of the commandments that is given to a new Christian. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26, after verse 22, he said, put on the new man. Verse 23, which after God is created in righteousness, new holiness, whatever. Verse 24, what did he say? Put away lying one to another, for we are members of one another. Verse 26, he said, be ye angry. Be ye angry. One day Smith Wigglesworth was preaching, and he said he was in a bus, and he saw a woman who had her dog following him to the bus stop in those days. And he kept on watching, and as the woman was walking, an elderly lady was walking, the dog was following her, and she would turn around and rebuke the dog and say that, go back home. And when she turned, the dog would just continue walking and after her. And she would turn around and say, I've forgotten what his name is. Let's call the dog what? Skippy, go home. And the dog would just stand, look at him. And as soon as she turned around, the dog started. Then she said, Skippy, go home. Then when she got to the bus stop, the dog was still coming, and she turned around and said, Skippy, go home. And the dog turned around and started going home. And Smith Wigglesworth said, that's it. That's how to deal with the devil. That's how to deal with situations. God has placed some chemical inside you that makes you angry about the roof that is leaking in your bedroom. That makes you angry that you are bathing at the beach. That makes you angry that the landlord is sacking you for coming home late from a convention. That makes you angry. You must be angry about things and prophesy. This attitude of, oh, yes, Fanessa, you ever find them? Oh, yes, Fama Yami. Ezekiel could have gone to the dry bones and said, oh, my boy. Oh, yes, Samo. Fama Yami. In the next world, they will be, maybe they are in heaven. All these people may, oh Lord, let them be happy in heaven. He said, no. How can there be dry bones? How can they? He said, son of man, can these bones live? And God asks questions not because he wants an answer. Anytime God asked a question in the Bible, he wasn't looking for an answer. He knew the answer. He wants to teach you something. And Ezekiel was wise. Can these bones, he said, Charlie? So you know these things. And God didn't say, yeah. He said, prophesy.
the solution to the dead, sapped, dry condition in your life is to open your mouth. Those of you, when Bishop Hemis is teaching you, learn the verses, must know scriptures, let's read the book, Feeding 527, let's go for camp, Soaking Podcast. Are you listening to Makane? Listen, you will never have the word of God in your mouth to be able to prophesy. It will never enter your heart. It will never enter your heart. If you are here, you don't soak in Makane. If you are here, you don't read your Bible. You don't read your Bible. Today you haven't read. Meanwhile, you know how to plait hair. I shouldn't go there. Prophesy to the bones. The structure. Say, hear the word. Come. And bone began to respond. Then, Bishop, please, what are sinews?
It depends. It could be muscles, connective tissue, ligaments.
Yes. If you did a little bit of biology, you have to form three. There's something called ligaments. Notice, there's a five-level miracle that takes place there. Ligaments are the things that join bones together. It could be muscles, depending on where the body you are talking about. But this bone cannot be joined to this bone. The end of a muscle is a tendon. Listen to.
One muscle can attach to another muscle. So if there's a muscle here that makes you turn your hand like this. It's attached here. It's called supinator. Supinator.
Supinator.
Turns the hand like that.
Say it, supinator.
And then there's one.
The bicep.
No, there's one that this one.
Flexus.
It's called flexor digitorum.
Yeah, I know that one. Flexor digitorum. I know. We know when we were in medical school, you know. So these sinews.
So there is the muscles, the tendons, the ligaments. I believe that's the thing.
Those are sinews. The things that connect the structure together. Some of you here, the structure that must be brought together is marriage. But the connection is the person who will hold your hand and introduce you to your beloved. Things to join the structure of your education. The structure, the skeleton must be that, oh, you'll become a PhD, whatever. But the muscle, the tendon, the ligament, some of them are white at the end. I told you I was in medical school. It's the person who will pay your fees. It's the person who will sit you down and explain the mathematics formula to you. It's the person who will encourage you and say, this exam, don't worry. You didn't do well. The next one, you'll do well. It's something called a ligament, a sinew, a tendon, a muscle. They make the structure of your life move. And when you prophesy to the dry bones, the word of God, not only do the bones locate themselves, but then they are connectors that keep them together. So that from JHS you go to SHS, from SHS you go to Ashesi, from Ashesi you go and do master somewhere, from there you go and do, they are connectors. You will notice they are connected. Then when you finish, he said, keep prophesying, then flesh comes upon them, which is Ahonam. That is where prosperity is coming in. And when you are becoming prosperous, when you prophesy tonight, when you prophesy about your life, flesh will come. You begin to expand. You begin to drive a car. You begin to build houses. You begin to live. You begin to eat what you want to eat, not what you have to eat. You begin to live a life, wear a shoe you want to wear. You open your wardrobe and choose a color you want to wear. Match your shoe, match your bag, match your hair, and walk with style. That's when flesh has come on. It comes from prophesying. He said that by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge its rooms are filled with great and precious promises. I see you becoming fat and juicy. I see you becoming financially fat. I see you becoming maritally fat. You walked here today alone, but in 7 months' time, you will be coming with your spouse. In 1 year from now, you will come with a baby or two. There are 11 people here. By the next Proton Convention, you'll be holding twins. You will actually make day one, because Atakaka was crying and didn't let Atapeyu sleep. God is going to bless you with abundance. When you prophesy, flesh will come upon your bones. You will begin to have grade A. You will begin to win scholarship. Your name will be etched in marble as the topmost student in your class. You will get the first class. The president will shake your hand. Flesh is coming upon your bones. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
And that's not all. And skin covered them. Do you know how this man would look like if there was no skin? I mean, imagine I came to preach and you could just see the muscles and the fat and the Terminator. I would look like Terminator. I watched Terminator 1 in 1987. That's when it was released. Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator 1. When I watched it, I was scared. Because at the end of the film, when Sarah O'Connor had injured the Terminator, half of his face was flesh. And the other half was a robot and a red eye. And he was coming like this. I was scared, I tell you. I couldn't sleep for many days. But when I sleep at night, I imagine the Terminator is looking at me like this. I tell you, my brothers, my sisters, if there is no skin on your life, you are ugly. Look at all these beautiful girls. You are so ugly inside. If we just peel off the skin, we can ask Dr. Hamish Odoi or Reverend Dr. Abuaji Blanksy. He is even a better person to tell us, because he's a pathologist. When they take a scalping knife and they cut the forehead over here like this, and they peel the skin off, then your whole face will become like this. Tonight when you prophesy, bones will join bones.
Sinews will come upon sinews. Flesh is coming upon you. And watch this.
Skin will come upon you. What is skin? Skin is what makes you beautiful. That's why when we look at your marriage, we say, oh, what a beautiful marriage. When we look at your car, they say, oh, what a beautiful car. When we look at your house, we say, hey, what a beautiful house. When we look at your church, we say, oh, what a beautiful church. When we look at your wallet, we say, hey, what a beautiful wallet. It's the skin that makes you attractive to others. The prophecy doesn't affect just the bones. It doesn't affect just the tendons. It doesn't affect just the flesh. But it's adding skin to your life. May you receive some beauty in your life. Your amen is an admission. May you receive some beauty in your life. Somebody shout yes. In this year 2020, every ugliness that has been tested on you, God is giving you new skin. May you receive spiritual skincare products. May God give you some skincare products that are going to make you beautiful. Now when I'm Hawaii, your marriage will look nahanahanaha. Your job will look nahanahanaha. Your business will look nahanahanaha. Your account will be nahanahanaha. If there's anybody receiving skin, shout yeah! Some of you ladies, you are a good girl. You don't fornicate, you don't drink, you don't gossip, and you don't watch Nigerian film. But no man has proposed to marry you.
and your time is ticking. The biological clock is going. When you look at yourself, you are 44, and it's like, God, when? And you are in the church and you serve and you pay tithe and you do this and nobody is coming in the realm of the spirit. It could be that the brothers see you, but they are seeing just the muscles. They are not seeing the skin. May God give you pimple-free skin. In the realm of the spirit, may He give you nahanaha, succulent, smooth, soft skin. Somebody shout yes!
And that's not all. Not only that, the structure, look, your life will never be in confusion from today. You will never have scattered pieces of life. That, you know, can I tell you something? If Ezekiel had been told to go and join the bones himself, he wouldn't have been able to do it. And some of us, we are joining wrong bones. The person you call your beloved is not yours. You have gone to take a finger and connect it to a hip and say that I'm going to walk on this finger. This is not your beloved. This is not your job. This is not your house. This is not your money. This is not your anointing. You have taken the wrong bone because you didn't make man. You've taken the head and put it at the bottom and you are walking like this. May God deliver you from confusion. Shout yes! So prophesy. And when you prophesy, the right bone will find its way and connect. And when we see, when bones are connecting, there's no stress. No. There's something called a ball and socket joint. This one and here this is the ball and so this rotator is also ball. Yeah, I remember this one.
It's the head of the humerus.
Head of the humerus, and this is the sacrum, and it allows your leg to move like this. And when you look at the end of the bone, the humerus bone, the end of it is a round thing capped with cartilage that enables you to move like this. Some of you are receiving some anointing to move. And there's another one here too. It's also here like that. It also allows you ball and socket. Thank you. Humerus. This is the humerus. Doctor, this is the humerus. The humerus. And this is what? The shoulder joint. The clavicle is here. This one is the clavicle. The sacrum, yes. This one, Rollins chain, clavicle. The sacrum. There's something be there. Thank you very much, Dr. Hermes Odoi. May somebody's clavicle and sacrum and humerus suddenly come together by the end of this convention. You'll be shocked at which email you are going to get tomorrow morning. You'll be shocked at who will send you a friend request on Facebook. You'll be shocked at who will get your number and call you. Your humerus is connecting to the cervical. So yes! And the sinews and the flesh. Look, ladies, and please, with all due respect, I don't intend to be vulgar, but ladies, if you were only muscle, we wouldn't marry you. If you were only muscle, have you seen a woman who is buried before? No, sometimes you see them, they are coming. There are some girls, they are very buried, they are hard. It's like Banchi, Banchi has been uprooted. Hard, they are just walking like that. It is difficult to fall in love with such a woman. But when you have, oh, I don't intend to be vulgar, but when you have a little bit of flesh, your body, when you are walking, there are things that are shaking. And
and there are things that are jiggling, and you are walking. Hey, when you are walking, you are swinging your hips. You must have some hips to swing. I said, you must have some hips to swing. You must have some breasts that are bouncing. Can somebody understand what I'm saying? May God give you some flesh. May God give you some hips. May God give you some calves. May God give you some legs. Shout, yeah! Check. Look, you see all these handsome pastors that are in front here. All these great men of God. If you want to know what I'm preaching, go and get an old video of the church. You see Reverend Dr. Boaji Blankson sitting here. And he was a lean medical student. And he was sitting down like this. You will see Oko Mensah with bushy hair. He has not always been like this. He used to have bushy hair sitting at the back there with his beloved Caroline. She was tearing. This guy there, last time I saw you in a video, I felt sorry for God. I said, how can God choose somebody like this? But God has given us a little flesh. There's a little pot belly. There's a little bit of weight. May God give you some weight. Shout yes!
So, go and get the old videos. Oh. One day, Bishop was preaching impartation service. And I saw myself. I said, mewo. Mewo. And by that time, I had been married for 3 years. Anumponi. So I asked my wife, what did you see? Because when I saw my wedding pictures, I was trying to save money. So I didn't get a photographer. I got a friend to take the pictures. So I went to buy Konica films. Those days, there were no digital cameras. Konica. I bought 6 rolls. And I gave it to him that, look, take the pictures. So he, during the wedding, no, chucha. He took the pictures. When we finished, he gave us all the pictures. And I went to Sharp Photos at Awudome to wash the pictures. When I washed the pictures, all the pictures, he had cut our heads off. That's why when I see these cameramen, I say, you people, you are not photographers. You can delete and retake and look at what you've taken. Ochobiati. We had only one picture in the wedding. We took outside, officiating ministers and their spouses. And they try it. I should marry again. But the little I saw of the wedding, my head was cut and there was a small neck on top of a frame. And I made some homage cream coat and black trousers. I was dressing the bones and the sinews. But today I don't need a cream coat. I don't need a black trouser. God has given me a little bit of body. May God give you a little bit of body. Shout yes! And then skin comes upon the body. I mean, there's some skin that makes you appealing. It's like the other day. Can I say something? Don't be angry with you. When I was young, I used to see nice cars. And sometimes I'll go and stand by the car and take a picture. And you feel good when you stand by a car. Recently, I was in my office and I was looking at the car park and some 3 ushers, they had come for a wedding and they went to stand by my car. Oh. And one of them took his handkerchief and wiped my car. And then he put his hand on the bonnet. And then he does something like this. When I saw that thing, I said, God has given me something beautiful. May God give you something beautiful. I said, may God give you something beautiful. My car has not always been nice. I used to have a Peugeot 504. The car, when it is coming, those who know, Caro, Oko, you and my friends, the car, you will hear the car. And I will come, and I can't park in front here, because after service, we have to push. So I will park at the back of the container, and by the gate, so that when we push, we are going out. I had a spare carburetor in the car. Because this one can fail at any time. When it fails, you must learn how to suck petrol and put it in the carburetor. You keep it here for some time. You open the carburetor. You put a little here, a little here. It is a double carburetor. My car was single. And then the car, I nicknamed the car Dream Wheels. Because I wanted to be happy. The car had only one roller. The window roller had only one. All the other three were lost. So I remember one day we were going, Apostle Toss. You had a beloved, he was going to chase his beloved. Legon Annex B, room 210. And he came to my office here that I should take him. He wants to go and visit his beloved. Today they are married. So when we're going to Legon, we contributed and bought petrol, 30,000 cedis, which today is 3 cedis. And then as we're going to Legon, it started raining. And we couldn't find the roller. And what happened is that my side was rolled halfway, but his side was down. By the time we got to Legon, the brother was wet with rain. He said, William, I will never sit in your car again. The car was so bad. It was brought to Ghana in 1969 as a second-hand car. My father gave it to me. That's the car that I used to marry. And I was faithfully using the car. Then the car was rusted. The bottom was spoiled. So I took it to a mechanic and they turned the car on its side. And they welded the bottom. I said, do double plate because car it may use your chair. So I went to spray it cream like the color of your shirt. And I came for shepherd service Sunday evening. And as Bishop was preaching, I was sitting just behind the sound control on the pew. I was sitting on the pew up. Listen, then Bishop said that I saw a certain brother with a certain old jalopy. And I saw that he has gone to spray the new jalopy. And he thinks that it has become a new car. But tell that brother that the car is still old. When he said it, the whole church turned around and they pointed at me like that. Today you may be taking torture. A mate is telling you, offer an action. Mami, offer an action. It's here for me and Abaco. But the day is coming. I said, the day is coming. God will put skin on your flesh. Receive skin now. From that car, if I went, Bishop said it. They laughed at me after service. Everybody who knew came to laugh at me. And can I say some church members, don't do that. No. Don't do that. Because me, I'm in himself, can't I yet? But don't come in after service. Challenge today, they love you. Challenge today, they love you, pal. Challenge you for do them buy car. Don't do that. Where's our major? Sorry, no. But after that, I was there when Bishop called me and blessed me with another car. Then I remember I took the car home and my father sat in the car and I took him on a ride. And he said, this is a very good car. Then I came, I brought the car to church and I told Bishop, I would like to take you on a ride in my car. And Bishop sat down and we drove around Kolegono. And came back and he dedicated my car for me. And then I used that car. The number was GR6232V. I used that car, yes. My old car was GT566X. My AB, what? Then. Sorry?
TRA 1982.
Mr. Femi, we are senior. Then after that, I was there one day when my second daughter was born. I was actually coming to Kolebu when I got a call. William, where are you? And I said, I'm going to. He said, come. When I got, then he said, take this car key. When you go to the car park. No, that wasn't that one. When I got there, he said, you see the car over there? It is now your car. So I said, what do you do with this? So I said, do whatever you want to. So I carried my things from my old car into my new car. I had a sleek Mazda 626. That one, when I got that car, I bought sunglasses to help me to overtake cars. But when you're overtaking and you put on the sunglasses, no way, just 7 inches. This is all the skin that is coming. This is the skin that is coming. Then I used my Mazda. Really loved the car. As I was using the Mazda, then one day I got a call. I went. They said that, take this key. When you go to the car park, any car you press that you hear, point, point, it is yours. So I got the one I pressed, point, point, I said, you are now mine. Then I sat in my first four-wheel drive car. And for the first time in my life, I had power windows. I've always been used to rolling windows. So when I sat in the car, I rolled, then the window went. Then I rolled up, then it went. And I began to cry. I said, hey, I have power window car. Hey! I'm here to encourage somebody that today it may look as if you are walking. You are taking Okada. Some of you, your leg got bent because you sat on an Okada and the thing was hot. Some Okada driver has beaten you before. You owe money here. You owe Uber. Some of you are here, you owe Uber money. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But a day is coming when you shall drive a four-wheel drive. When you start your car, you press a button, then you hear, boom! I see you driving and cruising. Somebody shout, yes! After the skin, there was no breath in them. And he said, son of man, prophesy. To the wind. It means that you can have the structure of your life. This is the order God wants to bring. And can I please tell you something? It appears as though Ezekiel 37 is in reverse order to Genesis 1. Because in Genesis 1, the spirit moved first. But in Ezekiel 37, it is last. He said, tell the wind, O ye four winds, hear the word of God. You may have the structure of your life. You may have the connections of your life. You may have the flesh you need. You may have been clad with smooth skin. But you need anointing in your life also. May the prophecy bring the wind of God into your life. May the prophecy bring the power of God into your life. May the prophecy make those dreams come back to life again. When the wind of the Spirit arrives, the army will stand to their feet. I see somebody standing to your feet. I see somebody rising higher. I see somebody being promoted. I see the Spirit of God entering into you and making you stand upon your feet. May the wind of the Spirit enter you. May the Holy Ghost breathe upon you. May the voice of God be heard in your life. May everything in your body come alive. And man, he took the dust of the earth and formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. May you become a living soul. May your marriage come back to life. May your health come back to life. May your business come back to life. May your ministry come back to life. May the anointing of God rest upon somebody. If you believe it, shout yes. Tonight, as we close, we're going to prophesy. And as you prophesy, as you open your mouth and you declare to conditions that are dead, come alive. Look, you must have that anger that Skippy had to tear that chain that has kept you locked for so long. Tear the chain and go forward. Tonight you must tear the chain. Let the weak say, I am strong. You must be able to say the opposite of what you are seeing. He said, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast yourself into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever. Not what you see, not what you hear, not what you smell, not what you touch, not what you feel. You shall have what you say. When they say you have a lump in your breast, say, I am healed. When they say you can't have a baby, say, I'm a mother of many. Sing, O barren woman, thou that didst not conceive. For more are the children of a barren than the children of a married wife. For the Lord your God is your husband. You must say what God has said about you. When they say there is a casting down, lift up your voice and say there is a lifting up. When they say we are poor, say I am rich in Christ Jesus. When they say we are sick, say I am healed by his stripes. Somebody stand to your feet tonight. We are going to enter into a season of prophecy. And I want you to be angry enough, oh Skippy, and tear that chain from your neck. My soul has escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. Tear that chain, my brother, my sister, and say to your church, you shall be 5,000 members. I shall have 200 pastors. I shall be anointed. Ramashotala Rababosa. Say it enough. Say it loud enough. Say to everything. La barana masota le debe asta. Speno. Somebody clap your hands and say, as I prophesied, there was a noise, there was a rattling, it wasn't a gossip, it wasn't chaos, but God was joined in bone. God was joined in bone. As you say, open your mouth and say, as you say, God will be joined in bone. Somebody say, I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. Say, I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious. I am a child of a king. I am holy. I am righteous. I am not poor. I am anointed. Prophesy. Son of God, prophesy.
One day, Jesus was told that Lazarus, his friend, is sick, nigh unto death. John chapter 11. And he stayed 2 days still where he was. Did nothing, just walking around being phlegmatic. And then he told the disciples that Lazarus is asleep. He's sick. So then he said, he's asleep. Let us go. He said, if he's asleep, then he should wake up. And he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I like it. Because he wanted to show us something about prophecy. That the thing may be dead, but when you talk, it comes back. Yeah. Listen. He didn't allow Lazarus to be dead for 3 days. He had to make it 4. And according to Martha, she said, it is 4 days now, and he is stinking. Jesus died. It was a prophecy on his life that he would die, and after 3 days he would wake up. But Lazarus was now 4 days. Decomposed. Began to smell. Some of you, your condition is now smelling. It's something you have kept and it's eating you up. Now there are gossips and rumors going about it around. And when he got there, he said, show me where you have laid him. And as soon as he got to the place, he said, roll the stone. They said, what? Tonight, as we prophesy,
wow.
I see some stones rolling away.
Jesus.
Somebody here has been diagnosed with fibroid. By the time we share the grace, it will be gone.
Amen.
Completely.
Amen.
And then when they rolled the stone, he didn't complain. He didn't cover his nose. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes and he said, I thank you, Lord. He applied the key of thanksgiving and he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus! That was a prophecy. The guy was dead. He had been buried. The education had ended. The person to pay your fees stopped. You dropped out of school. You become a seamstress for 14 years. But you know you should be a doctor. Lazarus! Come forth. If we say prophesy and you are standing there, whisper. There are certain conditions that don't respond to whisper. Tonight, if you are not like Skippy, angry enough to tear your chain, you will live the rest of your life going in circles around the same pole. You spend the whole day going around experiencing life. We are in February 2020. You can remember February 2019. You were doing the same thing, wearing the same clothes. Tonight I want you to prophesy. There are conditions that should not continue after tonight. I came here as an agent of change. And God is not going to come from heaven to do anything. You are going to have to speak to things. Jesus spoke to trees. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to water. He spoke to fish. He spoke to men. He spoke to devils. He spoke to deaf people. And they heard. You can speak to anything. Anything responds to the word of God. Because in Genesis, everything was made by the word of God. Open your mouth and prophesy. I am the one who is 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 the one
Job 38:12. It says, "Hast thou commanded the morning?" Job 38:12. Who is behind the projector? Or he's prophesying? He's upstairs. Okay. "Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place?" God expects you to speak to July this year.
Wow.
God expects you to command 2024. You should sit and think about your life. By 2024, how old will you be? What do you expect? You should be a pastor of 20,000 members. In 4 years from now, there should be 20,000 people under you. You can't be quiet. Don't live in only today. That's why you are defeated. Every day there's a new surprise. The enemy comes with another agenda because you've given him a blank check. But if you can sign the check, if you can sign the check and place the amount you are withdrawing, he will be forced to present only that check. May God anoint you to be a prophet.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet, everybody. Stand up, everybody. The Holy Spirit will come upon you now. And you will feel a new anointing to prophesy. He said that what appeared to be clothing, tongues of fire came upon them. And they opened their mouth and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He said, "In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Tonight, there is a new anointing coming on everybody here. The way you talk will change because now you are a believer. And believers must talk in a certain way. Lift up your hands.
To me, Nara, I am what is.
Lift up your hands to me now.
Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing to prophesy. Yes. Bring them to the front. Bring them. Bring them. Yes. Bring them. Bring them. Bring them. Yes. 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 Your life will never be the same after today. Receive the anointing of Ezekiel. You will prophesy. You will change your family in the name of Jesus. May your tongue catch fire. 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 In the name of Jesus. It's the first prophecy you are making with a new tongue. Open your mouth and begin to speak in a new tongue. Bring them to me. I want to lay my hand on them. The Bible said that Ananias laid his hand on Paul and he was transformed. From today, may you be transformed. May power enter your life in the name of Jesus. Ramos Satala Ramaba Yandini Makosa Yandini Makosa Yandini Makosa Yabaloma. Bring them to me. Something is entering you now. Yes, receive it. Yes, receive it. Yes, receive it. From today, the curse is broken. The curse is broken. The curse is broken. Careful, 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 careful.
Yeah.
Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly, 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 let the river flow in the name of Jesus. You call for life. You call for life out of darkness. You don't need a man.
You don't need a man to be the God you are. But you have chosen to call me your
own. You are God.
You are God. From beginning to the end.
There's no place.
There's no place for us.
Have you noticed that the entire army in the valley was waiting for an Ezekiel, and until God had commanded Ezekiel to go and speak, that army would have remained dead. Tonight, there are several Ezekiels in this room. An anointing is coming upon you now, and you will stand and speak for your family, for your community. From today, what you say is what will happen. Lift up your hands and receive it. A new anointing is coming upon you. Lift up your hands. It's going to come upon you right now. From today, your words will carry power. Lift your hands up. Take in a deep breath. I'll count up to three. You take in a deep breath. You take in a deep breath three times. then the Holy Spirit will arrest Ezekiel among us. Some of you look very composed and dignified, but there's too much at stake for you to be quiet. I'm going to count to three. You take in a deep breath. One, two, three. Taking a deep breath. Bring them. One, two, three. Taking a deep breath. Others are joining. Others are joining. Watch them. And the last one, look at that. Watch that. One. Look, your family, where your family is now, tonight God is equipping you to take them out of that pit and dryness. One, two, three. Taking a deep breath. Yes, receive it right now, all over this place. Receive it now. Ezekiel, taking a deep breath. Be inspired of God that you may be able to speak out. Taking a deep breath now. Let there be light. Bring them. Today is their ordination ceremony into the office of a prophet. That even your jokes will come to pass from today. Lift up your hands. Even your jokes will come to pass. Even your jokes. Your casual comments. The things you say. My God. My God. Your brother is on drugs. They've tried. Police have arrested him. Nothing has worked. But after tonight, fire touches your lips. When you speak, things begin to happen. Receive it now. Oh, there's another wave that is coming into the church. I was just told by the angel here. This one is going to convert you into a minister of God. That when you minister to people, what you say happens. Like when I say people are falling, you are now entering that. There are 11 people here. Ah, watch them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Bring them. Bring them. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. You cannot say what you don't hear. Ezekiel couldn't have prophesied if his ears were blocked or he wasn't paying attention. Receive the opening of deaf ears now. May your ears be open to hear whispers from the Spirit, from angels. Let your ears open now. Receive it in the name of Jesus. You shall hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Where's the oil? It's coming out, my sister. She was made to swallow something at the age of 6. At the age of 6, she swallowed it. She will vomit tonight. It's coming out. Come out! At the age of 6, they took her to a river and they gave her something like a cowrie to swallow. It has been your bane in life. You're free. These are pastors. All these people here are pastors and prophets, evangelists, teachers. Watch it.
Listen. He took me to a valley which was full of dry bones. You will notice that Ezekiel was able to describe what he saw. It means that God is giving you anointing to see things from today. Some of you can't see sin. You call it lifestyle. You can't see a problem. You think it's a situation. But God is opening your eyes tonight. You are receiving prophetic visions. Receive it now. Receive it now. Your eyes are open. Your eyes are open. Your eyes are open. You have the eye of an eagle. 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 May you see far in the name of Jesus. You have the eye of an eagle. Receive it now. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. Receive spiritual gifts now. Raise your hand. May your eye be open. May your ears be open. May your tongue be loosed. Son of man, prophesy. You are part of it. 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 Listen. Listen. You can only prophesy. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God is planting a seed of his word in your heart now. You will have a certain message, a certain word. When you start preaching it, it comes out. And that's what brings life. Receive it right now. You know, the loud ones among them are the evangelists. The loud ones are the evangelists. I promise you that the young ladies will prophesy. In the last days, the handmaidens will prophesy. He said the daughters will prophesy. It's, oh my God, it's coming all over you now. And the last point, he said, the Spirit of the Lord carried me into a valley. If you are too heavy, you can't be carried. Anything that is holding you down, any weight, any sin, he said, let us throw aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Anything that makes you unrapturable, today we break it into pieces. May you be free to fly. May the Spirit carry you to certain places. May the Spirit light. Oh, that anointing is coming upon you now. Certain weights are falling off you now. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. Today, you are free. Everything that you want to happen on earth, if you bind it on earth, you have the certification that it shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Shout yes! This will be your best year ever. I want to tell you before I sit down that the whole of Ezekiel 37:1-10 occurred in a valley.
If you want to test how powerful this anointing is, God will take you through some difficulty, some hardship, some pain, some disappointment, to see whether you can prophesy, whether you will believe enough to say what He has said, and let the darkness be turned into light. I see you walking in bright light. I see you walking in bright light. I see you climbing a hill. I see you jumping over walls. I see you on top. I see you healed. I see you prosperous. I see you forward. You shall be ahead only, never beneath. If you believe it, shout an amen. Clap your hands for Jesus. Bring them to me. I want to lay my hands on them. Bring them to me. Bless you, sister. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, Katama from my. Yes. God, but it's not working. Sometimes your bus center only 3 people come. From today, you will have 3 buses coming. Let the oil make the difference. 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 I will lay hands on you, so don't go. Let the oil make the difference. Shemanite serpent. Shemanite serpent. Shemanite serpent. Shemen. Because you need oil. Shemen. You are oiled shepherds from today. You are pastors in the making. Yes. Seminize. 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 Placenta leader. The oil will also make you prosper. You will not struggle to pay for your buses anymore. Receive it at the back. Receive it at the back. Receive it at the back. Now lift up your hands and receive your anointing. Receive your power. It's coming upon you by the count of three. May there be an anointing that is equal in measure. One, two, three. Receive it all over here. Receive it all over here. Receive it all over here. Receive it. Me comes upon you. What I can do, you can also do. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Receive it. What I'm doing, you shall do. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. It comes upon you now. There is power. 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 Watch it. Watch it. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. I see a mitre being put on your head. You shall rise to become a bishop. It's happening now. Take it. In Jesus' name. You, I saw Satan as lightning fall
I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What did I say? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Samaya. Sandinidi. Sadanababa. Sibaloroba. Sibaloroba. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Receive power over serpents and scorpions. Over serpents and over all the power, of the earth, of the devil. Receive power over all the power of the devil. Power, power over power, power over power, power over power. I see a bright light, a bright light, a bright light shining. Come on. Yes. 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 Power over power. Power over power. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things in the realm of the spirit. Your shoes are being changed. Receive a new pair of running shoes. Now you shall run with speed. You shall run with speed. What took you 10 years to do, you accomplish in 1 year. Receive speed. Receive speed. Receive speed. In the name of Jesus. Run. Run. And don't be weary. Walk. Don't faint. Yes. 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 May your shoes be changed.
Holy Spirit, moving on. Make my life, Lord,
may your shoes be changed. May you receive spikes. Your sprint is an important one. Run furiously. May your shoes be changed. Habalarababa. Halabalarababa. Halabalarababa. You are being given. You are being given a horse. Lift your hands and receive it. In the realm of the spirit, I see a white horse that is being brought to everyone here. That horse is to enable you to do things quickly, to run faster than you have ever run before. You are being given a horse to replace your legs that are tired. You, this man, you will walk on your own. I give you 6 months, you shall put down these crutches. But in the realm of the spirit, you have a horse. And you shall run with speed. Koligono Council, your nickname shall be Speed. What took somebody 5 years to accomplish, you shall do it in 5 months. Receive speed now! Ashes, come to me. One logo line. Lift your hands. Receive it. Each of you, come face me. Each of you that I lay hands on will be a pastor. Serve faithfully as an usher. But because I have laid my hands on you, you'll be a pastor.
If you have mopped this floor, you will be a pastor. I mopped this floor and I'm a pastor today. Receive that gift. 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 Being a pastor is to be a servant. And you have started in the right way. Be humble. Don't be proud. Be humble. Receive that gift. Receive that gift. Receive that gift. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. If you are here tonight, let's close. It's time to close. I want to ask you a question. Why are you not born again? Why are you not saved? Why are you living dangerously? Tonight, if somebody invited you here, and you know that your life, your relationship with God isn't good, maybe you're even a Christian, but the Christianity you claim you have is very bad. But tonight, you want to accept Jesus Christ. You want to start afresh. You want your sin to be forgiven and for your name to be written in the book of life. I would want you all to say this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, tonight I accept Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for my sin. I receive Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. Please forgive me for all my sin. Please wash me in your precious blood. Please write my name in the book of life, and please fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I will become just like you. Thank you, Father, for receiving me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Clap your hands for Jesus.